Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
I want to start a brand new teaching series today, and this is something that God put on my heart a number of months ago when I saw that Hollywood were going to release another epic from the Bible. Yes, we've had Noah, which didn't float my boat. But now we've got Exodus, Gods and Kings. Anyone seen the movie? Who's seen the movie? Just out of interest. Okay. Now, it's been mixed reaction, as there always is when Hollywood does a Bible epic. And I think we need to get over the fact that, you know, Hollywood are actually never going to represent the Bible accurately. We just need to get over that. And I'm just glad that they are putting out movies. Even if they're loosely kind of based, or they bring in other bizarre things. Like, I'm still trying to find the crocodiles in the book of Exodus. And I don't know if it comes from a different Hebrew word or whatever the case might be, but I can't find them. They're just not there. But, you know, by and large, the story was accurate. And some people have been very critical about the fact that God was portrayed as a child. And yes, that was a little unusual, but I'm glad that they didn't do the traditional thing of the booming voice from heaven, or even worse, the old man with a long grey beard and robes, because that's a stereotypical picture that people have of God. And so why a child? Well, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is represented by a child. And so even though the child was somewhat precocious, I thought, and maybe in need of some good parental discipline, he did warm up at the end, which was great. But, you know, when culture is speaking about something, I think it's important for us as a church to speak about something as well. And so over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be exploring Moses more than a movie. And we've looked through the book of Exodus and picked out some topics that I believe will be very helpful to us individually as well as corporately as a church community as we enter into a brand new year. Christy B, by the way, she's going to be preaching next weekend. It's going to be great. Let's get your Irish on. Wonderful. So today, the message notes are now on the website at baysidechurch.com.au. They're also on the YouVersion Bible app, or you can take your own. And the title today is Divine Delays in an Instant World. And I'd like you to go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 2. Okay, well, we'll put that down to it being the new year. And everyone's a little weary. Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 11 to 25. I'm going to read to you from the New Living Translation. So you can do your best to follow if you have an alternative translation. I'm really enjoying the New Living. It's very fresh and it's very accurate, and actually brings out some things in this passage that the NIV doesn't really emphasize. And that's particularly the time spans that take place in this part of the Bible. Now, understanding there are parts of the Bible that go into great detail, and there are other times where it moves really, really fast. The book of Acts is that kind of a book. The book of Acts covers about 30 years, but it moves really quickly, and it looks like they have miracles for breakfast, and, you know, everything's just kind of wow, 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 but it covers a long period of time, and that's what we see here in Exodus chapter 2. So picking it up from verse 11, and in the New Living, it starts with three words, many years later. And that's important for us to understand, because Moses had been put in a basket, he'd been found by Pharaoh's daughter and raised by her, and then the scene moves really, really fast. So it's many years later. Moses had now grown up. He went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, whenever you have to look in all directions to see if no one's watching, you're about to do something that you shouldn't be doing. Note to self, New Year's resolution for some, maybe. Then Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. It wasn't a good day. The next day, when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. "Why are you beating up your friend?" Moses said to the one who had started the fight. The man replied, "Who appointed you to be our prince and judge? Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" Then Moses was afraid, thinking, "Everyone knows what I did." And sure enough, Pharaoh heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. When Moses arrived in Midian, he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters who came as usual to draw water and fill the water troughs for their father's flocks. But some other shepherds came and chased them away. So Moses jumped up and rescued the girls from the shepherds. Then he drew water for their flocks. Then the girls returned to Reuel, their father. Now, the father-in-law, or the girl's father, is known by a couple of different names, and Reuel is one of them. The other is Jethro. So they are the same people. Reuel, their father, asked, "Why are you back so soon today?" "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds," they answered. "And then he drew water for us and watered our flocks." "Then where is he?" their father asked. "Why did you leave him there? Invite him to come and eat with us." Moses accepted the invitation and he settled there with them. Now, here's another one of these statements that move quickly. And so in the NLT, it starts with "in time." So we've had "many years later" and then "in time." Reuel gave Moses his daughter Zipporah to his wife. Verse 22 starts with "later." So we've got "many years later," "in time," "later." She gave birth to a son and Moses named him Gershom. For he explained, "I have been a foreigner in a foreign land." So Gershom probably means foreigner in Hebrew. And then verse 23, "years passed and the king of Egypt died, but the Israelites continued to groan under their burden of slavery. They cried out for help and their cry rose up to God. God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act." So we see five different statements here in this passage of scripture. Many years later, in time, later, years passed, and then finally those last words, "knew it was time to act." Divine delays in an instant world. You see, in an instant world, we sometimes find it hard to accept that we can't have everything we want right now. Sometimes our children are like that. And when children are given everything they want right now, we call them spoiled. They're the children and the families you invite to your house once, but never again. And so God doesn't want spoiled kids. And so sometimes he answers prayer straight away. Sometimes he answers it before we even ask. But invariably, it's yes, but wait. And sometimes it's just no, because no is an answer. There are often years of preparation, waiting for the right time and doing the right thing in the meantime. Here we see Moses in Midian, in the desert, working with sheep for 40 years. Because he wasn't ready before. Israel was in slavery for 400 years. In Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, it says that God also told Abraham that his descendants would live in a foreign land where they would be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. "But I will punish the nation that enslaves them," God said, "and in the end they will come out and worship me here in this place." We see divine delays all the way through Scripture. And again, some of these stories in the Old Testament move incredibly fast. Abraham and Sarah are promised a son, an heir, and sometimes they try to actually make the promise come true themselves, which is never good. But God waited until not only Sarah was barren all her life, but he also waited until Abraham was physically unable to father a child. And then one glorious morning, a miracle took place, and 9 months later, Isaac was born. From the time of the promise to the time of the fulfillment was 25 years. Joseph, when he was 17 years of age, received two dreams from God about being a ruler and his family coming and bowing down to him. And as this 17-year-old, unwise young man, he went and told his family and started bragging about the dream. As a result of his lack of wisdom, he was sold into slavery and had a horrible time for the next 13 years until he was 30, and then suddenly had the maturity to do what God had called him to do 13 years before. The ministry of Paul the Apostle is a classic example, because when you read the book of Acts, you think, oh my goodness, he became a Christian one day, and the next day he started his ministry. Not so. He became a follower of Jesus, and then he started to go out and preach, and the rulers, Jewish rulers in Damascus, wanted to kill him, and so the believers had to take Paul, and they put him in a basket, and they had to lower him down the outside wall of Damascus in the middle of the night so he could escape. That was the first letdown of Paul's ministry. But if you study it out in the book of Acts and the epistles of Paul, you find that it was actually 17 years from the time of conversion to the time that he was released to be an apostle. 17 years, nearly two decades of preparation time. He spent 3 years in Arabia. He spent 6 years in Damascus, Jerusalem, and Caesarea. He spent 7 years back home in his hometown of Tarsus, probably just making tents. And then finally, Barnabas went down to Tarsus and found Paul and brought him up to Antioch, and he joined the ministry team at Antioch. And a year later, in a prayer meeting with the eldership and the leadership of the church, the Holy Spirit spoke through a word of prophecy that now is the time to release him into the ministry. 17 years later. What is the purpose of divine delays? Why does God so often make us wait? Let me give you four reasons. If you're taking notes, point number one is waiting develops character. We've already seen that with the illustrations I've just mentioned, particularly with Joseph and particularly with Paul and others in Scripture. When God called them, they still weren't ready for the call. They had to develop character. Moses wasn't ready. Murder is never the answer when you're starting in ministry. Just a thought. Yeah. Pastor Charles just said, you feel like it sometimes. Ain't that the truth? But Moses wasn't ready. It took the next 40 years in a desert for him to be developed in character so he could do the job that God was calling him to do. And it's the same with us, church. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, and we'll put the scripture on the screen for you. James says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That's talking about our character. Our character is only really developed when we have to endure something in life. I love the easy times. How about you? I love it when everything's going well. It's just so nice. But I look at those times and I find that I very rarely grow and develop in those times. Looking back through my life, and particularly my life as a Christian, I see it was often through the times when I was under pressure and had to endure that they were the times that I grew the most in my character, because we only become what God wants us to become when we're tested and tried and proven. It's like the purifying any metal like gold, which is often an analogy that Scripture uses of our faith. And it is tested and it is purified and refined through fire. Endurance. When we have to endure something, our faith and our character grows and develops and becomes perfect and complete. It's the same in every part of life. Waiting develops character. And just imagine Moses out in the desert for 40 years. And the Exodus happened in 1446. So if you take 40 years back from there, that becomes 1486. And so maybe in 1486, Moses, at the beginning of 1486, he got his goals card out. and he wrote down goal for 1486. Be the deliverer of the Hebrews. But it didn't happen. So at the beginning of 1485, so hard when it's BC because you've got to do everything backwards. 1485, he goals card, be the deliverer of the Hebrews, but it didn't happen. So in 1484, goals card, be the deliverer of the Hebrews, but it didn't happen. And after a few years, he decided not to have a goal of being the deliverer of the Hebrews because it just didn't seem to happen and it didn't look like it ever would happen. But 40 years later, it did happen. And as we'll look at in a couple of weeks' time, Moses gave God five reasons why he'd got the wrong person. Hilarious. Sometimes we're just not ready. Our eldest daughter, Gigi, is about to get her learner's permit. I am about to increase my prayer life. 10 years ago, she said to me as a 6.5-year-old, she said, Daddy, I want to drive. And I didn't say no. I just said, you will. And now she is. Help me, Jesus. Even when the Hebrews moved into the promised land, God gave them a very interesting statement. Because the promised land had been promised to the Hebrews, which is why it's the promised land. But there were other people living there. But in Exodus 23 and verse 29, it says, but I will not drive them out in a single year. In other words, I won't drive the inhabitants of that land out quickly because the land would become desolate and the wild animals would multiply and threaten you. So there, it was going to be a process of time as the Hebrews moved into that land and gradually the other people moved out. It couldn't happen all at once. And it's the same with us in our character. Have you noticed that as soon as you give your life to Jesus, you don't become perfect instantaneously? That's because you couldn't handle it and nor could the people around you. I mean, if I was suddenly perfect and I went home and I was perfect, Christy would look at me and she'd go, what's wrong with you? And I would say, nothing, because I'm perfect. But it would be weird, although last night she said she wouldn't mind that just for a little while. But it's not going to happen because that's just the way it is. God does things in a process. Number two, waiting maximizes blessing. In Acts chapter 3, we read about a man who was in his 40s. He was lame from birth and through his teenage years and then into his 20s, 30s and 40s. He was carried every day to one of the temple gates. It was known as the Beautiful Gate. And there he sat on his begging mat, asking people for money. Now, I want you to imagine this guy, okay, lame from birth. He'd never, ever walked. And he was at one of the temple gates where Jesus and his disciples would have walked in and out of on a regular basis. And we read the Gospels and Jesus healed so many people. Why didn't he heal this guy? Why wait? Why the divine delay? Because it would have been easy. I mean, Jesus and the disciples maybe even gave this beggar some money as they walked in and out of the temple. It certainly seems that Peter and John gave him money because in Acts chapter 3, it says when the beggar saw Peter and John coming, he expected to receive something from them. So it's likely that the days when Peter and John went there for the hour of Jewish prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that they gave the guy some money. But this particular occasion, Peter and John had left their wallets at home. And so the guy was expecting some money and Peter and John said, we haven't got any money, but I've got something for you that's actually far more valuable. I'm paraphrasing this. And grabbed him by the hand and pulled him up and said, in the name of Jesus, walk. And he did. Amazing. Why the delay? Well, if you go on in that story, you realize why the delay, because this man went leaping and dancing and praising God, probably in a very loud voice. You would, wouldn't you? If you'd never walked and you were in your 40s and suddenly you could. You wouldn't just be standing there going, oh, thank you. That's nice. What a lovely miracle. Ooh, look at that. They work. No, you'd be thrilled, ecstatic. And that's what this guy was. And he went into the temple And the noise attracted a crowd, and Peter preached the gospel, and hundreds of people came to faith in Jesus. You see, waiting maximizes blessing. God wasn't just interested in healing a lame man. He was interested in the salvation of hundreds. And it was the same with Moses. He wasn't just interested in one Hebrew that Moses was trying to save the day after he'd committed murder. He was interested in the emancipation of 3 million slaves. Waiting maximizes blessing. Think about that in your own life, because sometimes when we have a need, we can be so focused on my need that we forget about what God might do in the ministry of our need in blessing others. Number three, waiting develops relationship. Moses' relationship with God grew exponentially in 40 desert years. He knew God to a certain extent when he was 40, but 40 years later, God revealed himself in a whole new way. In Exodus chapter 6 and verses 2 and 3, and God said to Moses, "I am Yahweh." Now, that's not a pronounceable word in the Hebrew. It's YHWH or YHVH, and it's the unpronounceable name of God. A number of 100 years ago, some people took the vowels from another of God's names, Adonai, and they took those vowels and put them into YHWH or YHVH and came out with the name Jehovah, which is the English equivalent. But the Hebrews will never pronounce this name, but we do in our English Bible. And so God said to Moses, "I am Yahweh the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai," which means God Almighty, "but I did not reveal my name Yahweh to them." In other words, what Moses receives here is a whole brand new revelation of God. And this is not just about God's existence or his power. This is talking about his presence. Waiting develops relationship. When you're waiting for something, it's so easy, especially if you've been waiting a long time, to get angry, to question, does God really love me? He loves these people because he's met their need, but I'm still praying. What about me? And it's easy to get discouraged and critical. And I've seen people walk away from the Lord during the waiting time. Don't do that. Walk closer to him during that time. Develop relationship with him during that time. It's so important. Waiting develops relationship. As long as we relate to the waiting period in the right way. Number four, and finally, waiting recognizes sovereignty. When you read through the early chapters in Acts and you saw even the deliverance of God through the plagues and all of that, waiting was a demonstration of the sovereignty of God. And we'll explore that in a little bit more detail in weeks to come. But about the sovereignty of God, let me ask you three questions. Have you ever noticed how God doesn't seem like he's in a hurry? He isn't. In fact, I've found the times where I've tried to hurry on something, or when people try and hurry me on something, that it's very rarely God. "Oh, come on, Pastor Rob, we've got this wonderful opportunity and we've got to do it now. We haven't got time to pray about it. Let's just do it." I don't think so. I'd rather miss some of those opportunities than to hurry on something, because I very rarely find God in the speed of life. Have you noticed that God doesn't seem like he's in a hurry? Question two, have you ever noticed that it takes God a long time to move suddenly? It takes time and then suddenly. Wow, that was awesome. Have you ever noticed how God seems to come through for you at the last minute? And let me tell you, from our perspective, it's the last minute, but from God's perspective, it's just the right time. He is God and we are not. He has promised to make everything beautiful in his time, not our time. And it's invariably once the promise has been fulfilled and we look back through the waiting period and we have those aha moments. Aha, that's why God didn't do it then. That's why it's taken until now. And we realize with the benefit of hindsight why God made us wait. I'll finish with a quote from revival preacher Charles Spurgeon. He said, "Don't give up. Remember that by perseverance, the snail reached the ark." Amen. Let's bow in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want us to bow in His presence for a few minutes. And why don't you just, in the privacy of your own heart, do some business with God right now. Maybe you want to rededicate your life to Him. Maybe if there's some part of this message that's really addressed something in your life. Maybe you're in that waiting period and you've wondered and you've questioned and you've tried to make it happen yourself and it's not turned out well. Or maybe you've even become discouraged and questioned your faith and started to distance yourself from God. Well, now it's time to make those steps back. And in the privacy of your own spirit right now, why don't you pray, rededicate your life to the Lord, commit yourself afresh to Him at the beginning of this brand new year. Make this a year that counts, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves afresh to You. The beginning of this new year, we draw a line in the sand. We put the successes and failures, the things that we should have done and didn't do, the things that we did do and shouldn't have done, all of that, we put it in the past where it belongs. We thank You that it is under the amazing grace that You shower upon us. Father God, we thank You for the blank canvas of 2015. May the decisions that we make this year make a difference, not just to us, but to others. Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to You, to growing in our relationship with You. We will look for opportunities to grow in You, to serve others, to make a difference, Lord God. May this be an amazing year for each and every one, and for You and for the extension of Your kingdom and for the glory of Your name. Just while everyone is bowed in His presence, I want to give opportunity before we finish up for people to come into a relationship with the God I've just been talking about this morning. God who loves you, has your very best interests at heart. If you want to come into a relationship with God like that, maybe this is the first time you've made a decision like this, or maybe you've made a decision like this before, but you've kind of walked away and today you're making a move back. If that's you, just raise your hand nice and high where you are. I'm not going to embarrass you. God bless you, mate. God bless you there, lady. God bless you, sir. Wonderful. God bless you, madam, at the back. That's wonderful. Anybody else, lift your hand nice and high, saying, God, I want to come back to You today. That's wonderful. Okay, four people have raised their hands. Let's all stand together, shall we? This is a holy moment right now. It's people stepping into relationship with a God who loves them. The four of you have raised your hands. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. We're all going to repeat this prayer together, but those of you who just raised your hands, I want you to make this a very special prayer and pray it from your heart. God will hear your prayer and He will respond to it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the gift of salvation and forgiveness through Your Son, Jesus. I believe on the cross, Jesus Christ paid the price for me. I receive You, Jesus, as my Savior and friend. Come into my life. Forgive me. Cleanse me. And fill me with Your presence. And from this day forward, I will live for You. In Your name, amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.